How many of you are ready to fulfill your mission in life, right? Come on, let me ask the rest of you. How many of you are ready to fulfill your mission in life? Well, I'll ask it again. Maybe I got to preach that today. How many of you believe you got a mission in life, right? All right, okay. Let me greet our campuses that are joining with us. As most of you know, we're a multi-site campus, and we invite you today just to join with us here at North. We're thankful that you're there. I want to say hello to all of our campus pastors this morning. Thank you for what you do week in and week out. In fact, North, let's give all of our campuses and our campus pastors a hand for all that they do today. We're glad you're there, and we're getting ready to see what God has for us today. Let's make our confession together. So would you grab your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God on. Let's hold it up, and let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God? Amen. And let me just say this about the Word of God. If you don't have that on your iPhone or whatever kind of a phone you're carrying, maybe you've got a BlackBerry, I don't know what you got, the app actually has a Bible on there as well. So all you got to do is go to the app, click on it, and you can have the Word of God at any point in time. Take your Bible today and go to the book of Acts. I began last week talking to us about this whole aspect of fulfilling my life's mission. Now, I told you last week I'm coming from a spiritual perspective in this. Because I believe that all of us have been called of God. The Bible says that you were created in the image of God, and therefore you are a spiritual being, and it's needful for us. We may do a lot of wonderful things upon this earth, but it's really needful for us to plug into this spiritual dynamic that God has for us. And so last week, I talked to you about encountering God, how that you and I have the opportunity to genuinely encounter God, to come to know Him in a personal way that is revealing to us about the message of Jesus Christ when He came to this earth and what He shared with us. Today, I'm going to be talking about another aspect of how you go about fulfilling your mission, your life's mission. And today, I want to talk about engaging with others. Now, here's what I know. I know that from Scripture, it's very important that you and I engage with other believers. And so I wanted to show you out of the book of Acts, the second chapter, and begin in verse 42. In fact, the next few weeks together as we study this, we're going to be looking at these verses together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together." Everybody say together. Together, right? "And had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number," how much? How often? "Daily, those who are being saved." I believe, let me just throw this in, I believe that it's God's will for the church to grow every day. Amen? It shouldn't be, you know, well, we go 5 years and we have a little growth. No, every day the church needs to be growing. So I just throw that in. Today I want to talk about engaging with others. As we looked at that, the 44th verse says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. And so there's this whole aspect that we have to come to an understanding of, that in Christianity is not just about you and Jesus. Right? There was a song, I don't know, in the 70s, somewhere back in the day, that came out, was a hit for a while, that said, "Me and Jesus got our own thing going." Anybody remember? Are you old enough to remember that? Come on, fess up, all right? all you young ones over here going, that's the goofiest thing. It was a pretty goofy song. But anyway, let me say this to you. When you get saved, it's not just about you and Jesus. God has called you into a body. God has called you into a family. And part of Christianity is our connection with other believers. And a lot of times we really don't want to spend much time doing that. Let me ask you about this. How many of you have a family? All right? Okay? And even if you don't have a family, let me just tell you, you do, because we're your family today. Okay? So we'll just help you if you didn't raise your hand and said, I don't really think I've got a family. I'm kind of by myself. Well, we're your family. But let me ask you the next question. How many of you have got some people in your family? Come on, just raise your hand. You got some, right? I don't even have to define that, do I? All I had to do was stop and give a moment of pause, and everybody goes, yeah, I got one of those. I got the crazy uncle or the weird aunt or, you know what, I got. And if you, let me just say this. If you don't think you have anybody strange in your family, you're it. And the reason I say that to us is this, is that so often people say, well, you know, I went to that church, or I was part of this fellowship, I was part of this group, and you know, there's just some people that I just couldn't get along with. I just didn't like them, or what? Come on, that's part of being in a family. In fact, the Bible says some things to us. One of the things that the Scripture talks about, again, in the New Testament, over 50 times, it talks about one another. It talks about that you're to encourage one another, you're to love one another, you're to pray for one another, on and on and on. And I can't do that when I'm out here by myself and it's about me only. I have to be involved with other believers. And what I find happening is that we don't understand a lot of times how important it is to be part of a local fellowship. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. A lot of us think that church ought to always just be real easy and there should never be any ripple or whatever. And we haven't read the Scripture, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Have you ever, most of us probably have not experienced this in a long time, but have you ever seen somebody sharpening iron? Let me help you for a minute. When people sharpen iron, sparks fly. All right? So years ago, I came across a book, and then I gave it away, and I mentioned it a couple of times here, and somebody found it. It's an out-of-print book. But the book is called Great Church Fights. Right? I mean, it talks about, Martin Luther, and it goes through the whole history of church. And here's what I found out, and it made me feel good. All the way through Scripture, and then all the way through church history, everybody didn't get along. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter didn't always get along. There were issues, and what happens is people say, well, I don't want to be part of a church. I don't want to really get plugged in. Well, let me show you why we need each other. Can I give you some things real quickly? Number one is that when we get in a connect group, when we join together, and that's what we call them in Love and Truth, is connect groups. But when we get involved in that, it provides a greater opportunity for personal discovery. Now, let me say this to you. I believe that we have great churches, whether it's this campus or any of the other campuses. I believe it's a great place for you to go. It's a great place to worship God with the praise team and to hear the Word of God week in and week out. But here's what I know. I know that you and I have been given some things by God, and if we're not careful, we never discover what those are. And one of the easiest ways and one of the greatest places to do that is in a group of people. I don't know about you, but I've got some friends. Now, I know that's hard for some of you to believe. I don't have many, but I got a few. And I've got some of you have heard me talk about. I've got some friends that I've had in my life now for almost 40 years. We've been running together for 40 years. And the thing about that is that we have such a relationship that we can tell each other anything. All right, that's really good, but it's also really good that we also aren't impressed with each other. Do you understand what I mean by that? Okay, you know, as pastors, let me talk about pastors. I'll leave most of you out. As pastors, you know, we can get to believing our own PR. We say, man, we had a church full, and we had this, we had that, and we, you know, and I read the Greek and the Aramaic, and I, you know, and you just need some people in your life who knew you when. Because there are those moments you think that you're supposed to do this, and they just look at you and go, that's the dumbest. Am I the only one? I mean, I have to have these guys just come along sometime and say, cut it out. You are being crazy. All right? So it's that whole aspect of personal discovery. And if you don't have some people like that, you need some people. I'll move on. The second thing is that small groups, connect groups, help provide community, all right? Community is not coming to church and looking at the back of somebody's head, right? Come on, as churches grow, I've watched it. You know, I've pastored everything from churches of 30 to now churches of thousands, and I've watched it, and it's really interesting. When a church hits about 150 to 200 people, all of a sudden, you have a whole bunch of people who all we do is we slide in and we slide out. Now, come on, go with me, right? We know when the countdown's on the last second. And for those of you at North Campus, we messed some of y'all up today because we put two services together and you didn't get your regular seat because you got it down to a science. You ease in, wham, you're there, and you're gone as soon as the last amen is said. I'm not saying don't beat the traffic. I'm not. What I'm saying to us is, though, is that the church service, if you study Scripture, it said that they went to the temple, but they also went house to house. All right? There wasn't just the big celebration, and this is needful, and we've got to have it, but there's also got to be that connection that I am in with other people who provide community in my life. The third thing is that connect groups are places of safety and growth, okay? They're a place that where when you get to know one another and you spend some time with people, you can begin to let some things out. You can begin to say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Listen, let me say something to you. You don't share that with everybody. Don't just meet somebody in the foyer out here and start telling them all your business, because it'll be on Facebook, right? But I mean, you don't even have to wait till you get home till your business is out there. They're just, I'll see you, and they got their phone. I met this person. Her name is Eddie, and he, wow, I can't believe. And right, but a connect group gives you a place of safety, a place of growth, a place of that your life can become more like God has. Now, there's some misconceptions through the years about connect groups, and I want to just hit that real quickly. One is that, well, this is just another program of the church, okay? This is just a program that we do as a church. No, it's not a program, okay? It's a ministry. All right? No more than if you come in to Love and Truth Church and you see the worship team and you think that's a program, then you're missing out on what it's all about. It's about ministry, and so that's what Connect Group is about. Secondly, is a lot of times we think, well, locations are limited to the church or somebody's home. And I don't know about you, I've been in some people's homes that I've been a little uncomfortable. Come on, am I the only one? I can remember years ago, I used to be the assistant. Now, you know what the assistant gets to do when he's the assistant on staff? Everything the pastor doesn't want to. All right. Now, the good thing was I served Pastor Bill Luther for 3.5 years, who's watching right now. And then now he's been working with us for many years, so I've got to get him back a lot. All right. But I can remember getting sent out to some people's house one night when I was in Memphis on staff. And I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, I walked in the house, it was scary. I want to be so kind here, but if Hoarders had shown up, they would have had a good TV show right there. All right? And so a lot of us say, man, I don't want to be a part of it. I have to go sit in somebody's house. No. Connect groups meet in a multiplicity of places. Now, I will tell you, there are some connect groups here that meet in houses that they got some women who know how to cook. I'm going to keep moving, all right? The third thing is, a lot of people say, well, you know, to be a leader of a group, then I've got to be some kind of a spiritual giant. You know, I've got to have all the answers. I got to know, everything about the scripture or whatever. No, we're all fellow travelers on the journey that God's called us to. Amen? And fourthly, people have this idea that only pastors can give pastoral care. And you know what I found out? Let me just talk about me for a minute. Here's what I found out is that a lot of you have a greater gift of pastoral care than I do. All right? Because I'm not, I want to phrase this. I don't have the greatest gift of mercy. Let's just say it that way, okay? I don't have the greatest gift of mercy. And so I've told you this before, but it really is true. And if I ever come visit you in the hospital, first of all, I have this happen every once in a while. I'll go to the hospital, and people will always say, am I that bad? I've had this happen more than once, okay? So no, if I show up, it's not that you're that bad. It's just whatever. I don't know. The next thing is, though, if I come to your room, if I'm in there more than 5 minutes, I want to play with one of those buttons. What does that do? And all of a sudden, you're sitting straight up, and you're supposed to be flat on your back. Right? What does that do? Oh, that gives me more morphine. Let me punch that one. See, I'm not real good at pastoral care. You say, well, why are you the pastor? I take that up with God. I don't know. All right? But here's what I know is that within the body, I have found that greater pastoral care is when we minister one to the other than any time somebody shows up in our hospital room who's a professional to minister to us. Now, we're glad to see them. But there's something about that person who walks in, who's our friend, who we're in a group with, who just says, man, I heard you're sick, and I wanted to come by, and I wanted to love on you. That means all the difference in the world. Amen? Now, when we begin to study the New Testament, let me show you how important it is and really what happened in the New Testament here. Verse 44, the first part there says, all the believers were together. Here's what these groups do, is that they provide community. Now, I mentioned that, but I want to take just a moment with community because I think it's really important. In community, I can't be in community with you unless I have common unity. Right, that's where we're going. Common unity. In other words, we're doing something that's common together, and we're unified around that purpose. And that it can be a myriad of things. You know, I've seen things as diverse as a Bible study group, and as a group that goes and plays basketball. And some of you say, you think community can happen in a basketball game? Yeah, if you don't lose your religion. Right? But it's not, let me say this to you. It's not about the activity. It's about having that common unity around something. It can be going out and visit. We have people at different campuses who go out and visit nursing homes. Well, that's a common unity that comes together, and it creates something of community. And there's this whole aspect. When I'm in community, there's an aspect of respect. It's a positive thing. It's genuine. It builds me up. It encourages me to live out what God has for me. And so if I really want to fulfill the mandate that God has on my life, then I've got to come to that place where I am willing to join together with other believers and get engaged with others and say, you know what, I want to make a difference. Maybe I've got a talent. Maybe I've got an ability that I want to get together with somebody else and use that for the kingdom of God and to do what God's called me to do. The second thing that it did, according to Scripture, it says, and they had, latter part of verse 44 there, it says, and they had everything in common, is that it provided unity for the group. Now, listen, I want to say something to us. We need to come together in unity, but we don't have to have uniformity. No, you didn't hear that. Can I, now that it's just kind of playing out, let me just resurrect it. What is interesting every 4 years at Love and True Church is how we find ourselves, y'all ready? we find ourselves, this one's for this one, and this one's for that one. But you know what? I don't sweat that. I can drive up in the parking lot, and I can see somebody have a bumper sticker for whoever, and somebody sitting right next to them have a bumper sticker for whoever, and I go, that's okay. Wow, y'all just got quiet. That's okay. Why? Because we don't have to have uniformity. We just have to have unity. I don't have to vote like you. Well, glory to God. I don't have to think like you. I don't have to dress like you. I kind of had a Mr. Rogers moment today. I'm going to take my shoes off in just a minute and put my house shoes on. See, here's what we've got to come to that place of, is that when we come together, it brings unity. And it's not about unity in everything. It's about unity of purpose that we're called to do. It's about unity maybe in an action that we're going out and doing something. It's a unity about our attitude that we are believers and that we love one another. And in spite of if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or an independent, if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're male, if you're female, if you're rich or you're poor, that's not important. What is important is that we say we have a Savior and His name is Jesus Christ and He loves us and He loves you, and if He loves you, I love you. Amen. And we're going to come together around that. Amen. And that's what the body of Christ ought to be about. The third thing that I see here when I study the scripture in the New Testament, the 45th verse says that they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every time I read that scripture, people get nervous. They say, Pastor's getting ready to take an offering. I'm not. It's a principle, okay? It was a season in the church where they sold everything they had because here's what was going to happen. In just a few years, they were going to lose everything anyway. And so God spoke to them in this season. I don't think it's an every time thing that we're supposed to do. But here's what it does, is that what it's showing to us is that they provided care for one another. And I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I have seen so many people who really don't have anybody who cares for them. All right? Now, it's sad that we live in a society where we are more connected in one sense than we've ever been, but we're more disconnected than we've ever been. Right? Again, we can pick up our cell phone and we can get on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and we can be in touch with hundreds and some of you thousands of people in a moment. And yet, the one thing that we don't have is that we don't have anybody who cares. Now, there's a lot of people who want to know your business. Come on. But when you get in trouble, you'll find out who really cares. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've experienced this on several occasions in my life where the greatest thing that anybody could do was to walk up to me and say, you know what? I've been thinking about you this week and I've been praying for you. Amen. That meant more to me in that moment of whatever I was going through than anything else they could have done, because it let me know that there was somebody who cared about my situation. Now, let me say this to all of you, and I want you to hear Pastor real carefully, especially in our larger campuses. If you don't take time to build relationships, we don't know if you're going through something that somebody needs to care for you. Can Pastor talk to you just a moment? Those of you watching, listen to me carefully. Again, I've pastored churches of all different sizes. And when you're a church of about 150, everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows when somebody's going through a tough time. You know when somebody lost their job, or you know when they're going through a tragedy or heartache or whatever. But you get a church much bigger than that, and several of our campuses are. When that happens, in that moment, you become disconnected. And if you don't have a group of people who you are spending time with, you will get lost in the shuffle And I meet people all the time, and hear my heart today. Again, I'm not the high mercy gift guy, but it hurts sometimes. I'll see people, and I'll go, man, I haven't seen you at church in a while. And they go, Pastor, I've been going through this. And I said, and I'll ask them, did you tell anybody? And they go, no, well, you know, we just didn't want to bother anybody. Listen, the way for you to be cared for is for you to be part of a group of people who care. See, here's what I know. God works through people. Yeah. Amen. I've been a Christian for a long time. I got saved when I was 7 years old and actually just had a birthday yesterday, so that's 51 years ago, okay? That's a long time, all right? I'm getting nervous. Next year is that birthday that you celebrate at the same year you were born. I was born in 1959. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going, man, now that is old, okay? But here's what I want to say. I've never had an angel show up to say, can I care for you? But I've had a lot of angels with skin on show up through the years and provide care. And so I want to just talk to you. I want you to hear me. Those of you at North Campus, those of you at all the other campuses, make sure that you've got a network of friends and people that you go to church with, that you're connected with. Because in those moments is where you find your life being strengthened. And when you go through the valley of the shadow, that's where your friends come along. The Bible says this to us. It says that we are to weep with those who weep, and we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. Now let me say this to you, and I'll hurry quickly. The church has been really good about weeping with those who weep. Somebody going through a tough time, we surround them. We're here. The church struggles in rejoicing with those who rejoice. Let me prove it to you. You're standing out front, you're a greeter or whatever at your church, and you see somebody drive up in a brand new Mercedes. Do you start rejoicing? Praise God, they got a brand new Benz. Right? Come on. Or we go, well, I can't believe they'll give that money to missions. Well, see, here's our deal. We don't know how much money they give to missions. They may have given millions to missions. Amen. See, we've got to learn that when somebody else is celebrating, we celebrate with them. When they're going through a tough time, we pray with them. But that's what relationship is all about. It's about coming to that place where we say, you know what? Here's what we're here for. We're here to minister one another. Here are things that happen in those groups when you get together. First of all, is prayer, okay? That's personal, intimate, okay? We can't. I mean, think about today. Again, think about North Campus in this earth. Every need in here. Can you imagine saying, okay, we're going to take time today and everybody stand up and tell us your need? It'd be tomorrow morning, wouldn't it? You just can't. But in a small group, you can say, hey, here's what I'm facing a challenge this week. Or you know what? I got a great opportunity this week. I need some prayer about it. I need somebody to be there with me. The second thing is encouragement. We can encourage one another. And again, that's one of those one another's in Scripture. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. That the Word of God tells us. Fellowship, okay? Fellowship happens in a group, all right? And I heard somebody say years ago, said the best definition of fellowship is fellows on a ship together. And I said, that's not true. Because I've been on a boat with some guys who are trying to stomp the bottom out of it. Right? So fellowship, it's an action, but it's the action of coming together and making sure that we're concerned about one another. Okay? And then the next thing there is that your spiritual gifts begin to operate in those settings. Okay? It's an opportunity to exercise spiritual gifts. Now, I know it's kind of scary to say this in a quote-unquote spirit-filled church, because all of a sudden people, they want to prophesy to everybody and speak in tongues to everybody. And can I just say this to those of us who come from a spirit-filled Pentecostal background? There are more gifts of the Spirit than the 9 gifts in Corinthians. Now, I thank God for the power gifts that are listed there, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I'm grateful for that. But the Bible also says there's a gift of mercy. which we already found out pastor doesn't have, gift of administration, gift of leadership. I mean, on and on and on. These are in Scripture as well. Gift of hospitality is in Scripture. So all these things are there. And we need to understand that this gives us the opportunity to use our gifts, whatever they are, in a setting where it is pleasing to the Lord to see what God has. So here's what engaging with others means. Let me wrap it up, okay? Engaging with others means, first of all, involvement in a connect group, all right? If you really want to fulfill your life's mission, you got to get involved with other people. Now, again, you may not like them. They may not all, you know, do everything the way, but you need to find some people who you can hook into and say, I want to get involved. And here's the great thing about connect groups at Love and True Church. They're seasonal, okay? If you sign up for one, you're not there for 100 years, okay? You become part of it, and then after that season's over and that semester's over, you can sign up for something else. So it gives you a place to connect. It's also engaging means ministering to the needs of others, all right? Let me say this to you, okay? We talked for years at Love and True Church, and especially when I was in Adamsville all those years, we talked about the church was a hospital. And I used that analogy so much that I created a church through the years, not just there, but then even when we came to Jackson, that everybody came in hurting, and all they wanted to do was hurt. Some of y'all saying, I wish he'd ended that sermon about 3 minutes ago. Because I've been in pain for 38 years and I'm just enjoying it. Have you ever asked somebody, this is an old saying from old people, you know, way back in the day. You'd ask them, hey, how you doing? And they would say to you, I'm enjoying ill health. Well, I want to tell you something. I've never had one day of enjoying ill health. Okay? But there are a lot of people who get in the body of Christ, and all we do is that we stay. I'm going to talk to y'all way up there, okay, because these are giving me some nasty looks. All we want to do is stay busted, disgusted, and sick. There comes a moment in the hospital where you got to get healed. And so, yes, if you walk in hurting, we want to minister to you. We want to love on you. We want to make sure we do everything we can. But we also want to get you healthy so you can begin to minister to the needs of others. Amen? I believe it's important. And lastly is this reaching outside of ourselves. I heard years ago, and it's a great saying, and it says that a person who's all wrapped up in themselves makes a mighty small package. All right, Christianity is about reaching outside of yourself. All right, so let's close with this. The Word of God's clear that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God went outside of Himself so that you and I could experience life. The greatest thing that has ever been done for mankind was when God reached out of Himself and sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And so there are some of us today who that's the greatest thing that you can have happen today is to come to that place where Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and your Savior. And then after you have encountered Him, then you can begin to engage with those who He's called into His kingdom. Amen.